holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and to seek for our purification and salvation without or outside of ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and seals to us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals to us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son seals to us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying to us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, Evelina not either, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaks unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, O gracious God, we beseech thee, that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon this little girl and to incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that Evelina Nelica Grishnik may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing the cross, and cleave to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal to us and to our seed his covenant, and therefore it must be used to that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may be then manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions, and I ask you to rise at this point, please. The questions are, and you know them, first, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified, set apart in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect, that is, complete doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child, along with your other children, when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are the parents, that they be instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or that you will help or cause them to be instructed them therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Scott? Malika. Dear parents, it's a wonderful thing to every time when the Lord blesses you with a child, that you may bring the child to the Lord and say, Lord, please bless this child too, with the promise of the gospel, signed and sealed to her. You know what's very special is, God, you have four children, right? No. God isn't dividing himself up into four and saying, I'll give a quarter to this one and a quarter to this one and a quarter to this one and a quarter to her. No, no. The whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all that they do for sinners like us, the Lord pledges also to her. Isn't that wonderful? That gives you hope. We live in a miserable world. We live in trying times. But the Lord bless you in seeking to raise your child and children in the way of the Lord. Speak often to your children about the Lord, and speak more to the Lord about your children. And the Lord promises in his covenant of grace to be merciful and plead his promises, and do not give up hope as you lead them and direct them in the way of the gospel. May the Lord bless you in raising your family in his ways and give you the strength you need in this high calling. Congregation, we will sing after the baptism, Psalter 431, stanza 4 and 6, very encouraging songs that very much fit with the baptism of our children. May the Lord encourage us all as we witness again this baptism. We'll sing that standing after the baptism. Evelina Nelika Grishnik, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. now in Thanksgiving, but before our prayer, which will also lead to the congregational prayer, I have a couple of announcements from the consistory. You will know of this probably, that the Wilder family in this community lost a 19-year-old daughter in a car accident just a couple days ago. I want to pray for them, that family, and their grief. The Grzynek family, I don't know if it's relations or not, but a 2-year-old son was struck by a skid steer, which is like a bobcat, in critical condition in hospital in Calgary. So we'll also remember those matters in prayer. Let's now pray first in thanksgiving and then have the congregational prayer. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same to us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized child, Evelina, Nelika Grzynek, and all our baptized children, by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, that they may increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. So, Lord, we come with humble thanksgiving at Your loving kindness in so visiting with us, visiting with this family, with their newborn daughter. Also for her, Thou wilt come alongside of her and give the sign and seal of the promise of the gospel, how that in Christ Jesus she may find her all in all. O Lord, we give thanks for how Thou dost reach out to us and to our families in this way. And we pray that Thou wilt bless our families, wilt Thou bless the family of Scott and Nelika Grzynek, now with 4 children. Help them in the high calling of raising those dear ones in the way of the Lord. Oh, they cannot give any one of their children a new heart, but they may plead the promises that Thou wilt come alongside of them, and that Thou wilt hear us when we pray, that Thou wilt work in their hearts. And we pray that also for this little one and for all our loved ones, Lord. We thank Thee for the encouragement that Thou wilt give us through the sacrament of baptism. May it bless us, Lord, and encourage us also when we are older, that we may be reminded even of our own baptism, whether it was when we were a baby or whether it was when we were older. Help us to see how kind Thou art to us, how Thou dost come to us before we come to Thee. Lord, we are grateful that we may come to church this day. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and we give thanks for this, and we give thanks for the freedom to worship and the ability to worship, even under these circumstances of this pandemic. We can still be with so many here to praise the name of the Lord and to give thanks for all Your undeserved mercies. And we give thanks especially, Lord, for the Word that we could read. And we pray, bless the preaching on the Word and accompany it by Your Holy Spirit. We confess our sins and shortcomings. O Lord, who of us lives by Thy holy law as we ought to? We all, each one, will have reason to confess sin. Help us to be sorry for sin. Give us a very tender heart. Lord, give it to us when we're children and young people, a tender heart. Also when we are older, that we cannot live with sin, but that we look for refuge, that we repent of sin every day and find cleansing and renewal through Christ the Savior. That we look to that precious blood of Christ, which the water of baptism also points us to as the way and the means of reconciliation with God and eternal salvation with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the needs in this church and in this community. Again, this community has been struck by a tragic death, and we think of the family, the world of family. We do not know them, but we pray for them in their grief and shock and sorrow, and remember them in their need, Lord, and come alongside of them with thy promises of thy word and with hope and comfort from the word. And Lord, also with instruction, with teaching from the word. Help us all to know, we should be reminded of it again and again, how frail we are, how we can be here one day and be gone the next. Lord, help us then to hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us and to respond in faith and repentance and not to harden our hearts in the way of sin and unbelief. Lord, work with regenerating power through the word, through the ministry of the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So, Lord, let that be evident also today in this congregation and wherever your church gathers to worship this day. Lord, we pray also for the Grishnik family whose 2-year-old boy was struck by this skid steer and is in Calgary Hospital in serious condition, as far as we know, Lord. We pray, bless what is being done. We pray that his life may be spared. We think, too, of what we heard on the way down here, that there was an accident in Jasper where 3 people and others were in a bus enjoying the wonders of nature, and then an accident and 3 killed suddenly and many others injured. Oh, Lord, remember all those families also in that tragedy, and help us, Lord, to learn from all these things and to be taught from your word. We pray, oh God, bless us as congregation this day. Remember this church in a time of vacancy. Will you provide for them and bless them mightily also in this time, that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also when they don't have their own pastor and teacher, will you give the consistory much wisdom as they deliberate and think about eventually who they might call. Bless also this time when others may come and they hear other ministers. Lord, prosper this congregation in your grace and mercy. Be with all our vacant churches. Be with our students for the ministry. We give thanks for them, and we pray, bless them as they are able to preach this summer. Will you encourage them by that, and encourage us also with the word that they may bring. There's so much we can ask and need to ask, and we just sang that we may ask, we may plead the promises, and thou wilt pour out blessings. Thou art a gracious, covenant-keeping God. And in the name of Christ Jesus, there is no limit to what thou wilt do for all who call upon thee, O Lord. So bless us in the faith and ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Give strength now in preaching. Help your servant to bring the word faithfully, and bless it to us by your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in the forgiveness of all our sins, looking unto Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We now continue with our worship, singing Psalter 215, 1, 5, and 6. Is there offering time during the service, or is it after the service? Offering time. Is it during the service or after? During? Okay, so there's offering time. The Lord bless you and your offerings. May you see that as a delightful aspect of worship, and may you give with a cheerful heart for the cause of the Lord. After which we'll sing Psalter 215, 1, 5, and 6. since this COVID time, I've deleted one song because they were discouraging us even to sing. So after the sermon, we have prayer, and then we will sing Psalter number 84 following. Dear congregation belonging to Christ and dear Griznik family, in this morning's message, I invite you to think with me how God triune relates with his people and their covenant children. Having just now witnessed the holy baptism of another covenant child, Evelina Nalika Griznik this time, it is surely extra fitting that we think about this. The way God looks upon believers and their covenant seed. We have both, congregation, a very moving and an earnest matter that God's word says to us this morning, as we find it in our text, Romans 10, 21. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands, yes, unto a disobedient and gainsaying or contrary, obstinate people. I will focus with you mainly on the first part of this verse, where God says to his covenant people, all day long I have stretched out my hands. Let's notice right away that these words are a quotation from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, in Isaiah 65, verse 2, where God says, I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people who walk in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. You know, in both the Old and New Testament, we are being told how God here related with his covenant people, and that in comparison to others, how favored his covenant people were and are. In Isaiah 65, God foretells how he would reach out to the Gentile nations because of Israel, his covenant people, not listening to him, but continually rebelling against him, even though he spread out his hands in calling and supporting them all the time. And in our Romans 10 passage, as part of the whole section, chapters 9 to 11, Paul is dealing with the whole matter of God's relation with the Jews. Even as the Christian gospel would go out to the whole world, we're told yet God's relation to the Jews. The fact is, both the Old and New Testament age, though the Jews had been God's covenant people, to whom the Lord especially called and reached out to, yet again and again, they were a rebellious, obstinate people who turned their backs on God. Romans 10:21 is a condemnation of the Jews. But at the same time, it says something so great about God. And that's what we want to focus on. So let's now just pay attention to this description of God in relation with his covenant people in old time and in our time still. The theme for the sermon is the posture of God's stretched out hands. Notice with me four main thoughts about the divine posture towards his covenant people. For one, isn't this indeed a special picture which we have here? Special. I mean, think of this, how God relates with his covenant people. All day long, I have stretched out my hands to you, our text says. Now think of someone stretching out his arms and hands to you. What does that suggest? I mean, isn't it a most inviting picture, you would say? It's a picture saying, come to me, run to me. And I will welcome you. I will love you. I will hold you. I will help you. I will bless you. Who of us doesn't remember our mom or dad or some other relative, and we're with them when we're small and we're walking, and then they run ahead and then they turn around and they spread out their hands and they say, come, come. And then you run, you go to daddy, you go to mom, you get taken up in their arms, and you know they'll hold you tight, and they'll keep you, and they'll cherish you. Well, so our text is, as one said, a picture of the everlasting arms of God spread open in unwearied love towards sinners like us. Well, now, so God pictures himself towards his people and their seed. God is a covenant God to believers and their seed. He says in Genesis 17:7, as we read also in the form, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. How did God relate with Abraham and with his seed? And then with the family line of Isaac, and then Jacob and the 12 tribes, and then with the Israelites down through the generations. How did God relate? All day long I have stretched forth my hands to this covenant people, unto a disobedient, gainsaying, contrary people. Today, God's believing people and their children are the covenant people of God. We know that, right? We know that from, for instance, Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14, where Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, Jews and Gentiles, and he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And Galatians 6, verse 16 tells us that the church is called the Israel of God, the new covenant people of God. And now listen to this, dear parents, Scott and Nelika, as confessing Christians, God relates to you as one who all day long stretches out his hands to you, showing himself ever ready to hear you, ready to help you, ready to save, ready to forgive, ready to receive and to hold and embrace and keep in his tender love and care. And this is his way, not only with you, but with your daughter now too, as well as with your other children. God declares and will show himself to them likewise as one with outstretched hands in care and love towards you and your children. And when the text adds, all the day long, it tells us, doesn't it, of the constancy of God's desire to be the Savior God for his people and their seed. Well, this morning, we could even witness this in a visible way with the baptism of Evelina Nelika Grishnik. This is God's posture to believers and their seed all the day, every day, all the time. Come to me with outspread hands of welcome and care, three times in the name of the Father, and in the name of Jesus the Savior, and in the name of the Comforter, Holy Spirit. Oh, it's so special, the way God does and will so relate with believers and their seed. And dear parents, with your child's baptism this morning, you need to let her and your other children know in time ahead, as you already have begun to do, no doubt, about this way of God relating to each of them and how special, truly special, this is. Let Evelina, along with your other children, know about God reaching out to them in a special way, even in bringing them into a Christian covenant home and under the gospel and into the church. Teach them how special it is that God should relate to really any one of us in a welcoming sort of way, showing his readiness to help. For how undeserving we all are, isn't it true, of his care and his attention. Also our children, even as children of believing parents, they are conceived and born in sin. And by nature, as the baptism form rightly teaches also, our children are children of wrath, meaning they are children who need to be born again, to be saved. The children of believers are just as sinful as any others and just as undeserving of the least of God's blessings as any others. Yet behold, Behold what is God's mindset and his loving, welcoming covenant posture with believers and their seed. Come to me with outspread hands all day long. That's his posture. Oh, to be sure to tell your child and children how special this way, this covenant way of God with us and our children. And tell your children how with this the Lord lays a claim on them to be his child. Not years from now, but from childhood on. Let Evelina and your other children know, teach them and tell them so. God doesn't want you, Evelina, to be lost in sin forever. You are born in sin, but the Lord has come alongside of you, welcomes you, even as you were born, why, even still in mommy's tummy. The Lord marked you even as a special child whom the Lord would especially reach out to and call to turn from sin and to belong to him and follow after him. What a gracious, special posture the holy, righteous God shows towards his people and their seed. All the day long, I have stretched forth my hands towards you. With baptism, we can say, God pledges this with holy, visible sign and seal as his way with his believing people and their covenant seed. God makes a distinction with our children reaching out to them in a special way, unlike with the children of the world and of the heathen religions. He makes a difference where there is no difference by nature in his covenant mercy and ways. Look how he relates with us and our children in so personal and inviting and caring manner. Dear parents and extended family and congregation here, does it move you to think of God so relating to us and our children? God so especially relating to us by itself, that doesn't save anyone. But it calls us to respond in faith and devotion to him as our only Savior and Lord. And this is what we need to teach to our children and show them by example too. And to bring this out more, the importance of this, we move to our second point. And we notice not only do we have here in our verse a most special picture, but would you not agree? It's clearly a salvation picture too, a salvation picture. God's outstretched hands reaching out to us and our seed is such a salvation picture by itself. For consider, what do we deserve? We who turned our backs on the Lord. We all did so in Adam. And our natural inclination, even as we are born, we and our children, is to disown God and to enthrone ourselves. I mean, don't we see this in society and in the world around us? Very much also in our times. The text tells in the latter half what is the way of we ourselves by nature. What is it? We are naturally, as fallen sinners, a disobedient, a rebellious, an obstinate, an unrepentant, a foolish people, living in the way that is not good, the way of sin, Satan, and this fallen world, leading to eternal death. It's the way according to our own thoughts, the text says, especially in Isaiah. And soon enough, we discover, don't we, also about our children, dear as they are, and however much we truly love them, yet they each clearly have their own mindset, and without a doubt, by nature, each of them are stubborn sinners on their own. You might not have seen it yet in your newborn, but you know it from your other children. Our children are conceived and born in sin. And soon enough, they show themselves, as one said, like vipers in diapers. But think of it now. God reaches out to us and our children with his outstretched hands from our conception. And he demonstrates his care and reaching love and help towards us, especially also in the sign and seal of holy baptism. As God pursued Adam and Eve in the garden after their fall into sin, God also with baptism pursues us and comes close to us and attaches his name to us and to our children, saying, as it were, I don't want you to perish in the way of sin, living in this sinful world and being a sinner. Oh, come to me. Come to me, the only Savior God, the triune God of salvation. And I promise you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that with me you will find salvation in and through Jesus Christ. You know, baptism, people often get it confused. Baptism isn't a sign and seal of a person's faith. It's a sign and seal of the promise of the gospel in which we are to put our faith, whether we are baptized as an infant or as an adult. And how rich that the Lord so comes to us saying, you can trust those promises of the word. I pledge it to you in my triune name. And again, thinking of this posture of God's outstretched hands, you know, I could not help but think, and maybe you thought it too already, how the outstretched hands of God are most fully revealed where? On the cross. The nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ on the cross. There you see his outstretched hands most fully. Jesus is God's only begotten Son and dearly beloved Son. He was left forsaken and all alone on that cruel cross of Calvary as he paid the punishment for sin that we sinners deserve, we and our children. And as he gave up his perfect righteous life as a sin offering to God. The heart of the gospel is, isn't it, that Jesus was left abandoned in the darkness of Golgotha on the cross with no outstretched help from God or from heaven towards him. No, that now whoever believes in him might have God so ever reach out towards us and our children. As someone recently put it, thinking of Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament story, you know, of Abraham offering Isaac. You know that story in Genesis 22. Someone recently wrote in connection with that, that how Jesus, he fulfilled that. And you know how he willingly stretched out his life on the altar of sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And when the knife was raised and the fire set, so to speak, on Golgotha, wrote this person, then there was no baa from a ram in the thicket nearby. No. But he was slain. There was no substitute for Jesus. No Father's hands reaching out to him so that there would always be for us his help. Always a substitute for us. And you see, this is moving beyond words. God's people, they confess this every time. They can never get over this, God's true people. Can you get over it? What God has planned? What God has done? Christ left his own beloved Son without any substitute for him as sin bearer, that we might always have him as substitute Savior for us, for now and forever. You know, it'll take an eternity to praise the Lord for this wonder of his amazing grace and love that God toward his own Son as sin-bearer, kept his arms folded, as it were, and even held back his hands from coming to the rescue, that for people like us, this may be his posture. I have stretched forth my hands all the day long towards you in care and love for you and help for you. His outstretched hands, his widespread arms. Do you feel them? Do you run into them? Trusting him alone as your only Savior. You know, I can't get over it that in baptism, as it were, also when I was a little baby, an infant covenant child, when I yet knew nothing, just like little Avelina Nalika knows nothing yet of all her sin and misery and her deserved punishment in hell. I can't get over that God actually held me, as it were, in Jesus' nail-pierced hands and pledged then already, and for all my life long, I will be your Savior, God. Look to me, trust me, follow me, and be saved. I promise you all you need, even for repentance and for faith and for godliness, for preservation, I will give it to you as you look to me. The water of the baptism points to my blood as the basis and the only remedy for all your help and escape from the judgment you otherwise deserve. In my triune name, I promise you will never be put to shame, trusting and depending and following after me. And then later, when I had my own children and I could bring them for baptism, how moving, how special to have this be God's posture towards his people and their seed in the generations. Oh, who can tell the preciousness of this all? God stretched out hands to his believing people and their seed, our salvation hands, ultimately his nail-pierced hands. Do you see this with me? And dear Scott and Nelika, and all parents here, will you take care then to teach your sons and daughters and all our Baptist children this gospel truth and this sincere invitation and loving posture of God towards us? What are we to teach our children and to make clear to them as they grow up in our Christian and covenant homes? Well, are we not to make clear from Scripture their desperate need of the Savior God in all their life, each one, and the riches of the Savior God as they look to him, the crucified and risen Savior? Are we not to teach them also as covenant parents the way to him and the necessity of the Holy Spirit to bless the Word in their lives, to pray for the Spirit's blessing on the Word in their lives? Are we not to show them what it means to trust and obey the Lord and to walk in his ways? Didn't you also this morning, dear parents, again make this promise before God and his church? As believing parents in the raising of your children, you will do what? Your utmost, your level best to lead them in God's ways. Are there parents here who have made that same promise, perhaps even more than once, but lately you aren't doing your utmost to lead your children in God's ways? Maybe you're more caught up in all kinds of lesser things. You know, you have to provide for them. You have to work hard to be able to have them have food and drink. You also want to make sure they have some opportunity for the pleasures of this life. Of course, we have responsibility that way, but it should never be at the expense of, above all, seeking to lead our children in the way of God's Word and under the ministry of the Word. Not just at church, not just at school, but in the home, in the home. When the Lord reaches out to us and our families in his covenant of grace, don't we have a solemn responsibility to live in faith and obedience before the Lord and to be true to our promises to raise our children in God's ways? And don't we have a solemn responsibility as children and youth raised in covenant homes to listen to the instruction from our parents, from our church, from our teachers at school, in the way we should go, the way of the Word? And here we come also to our third observation, yes, about God's outstretched hands. Isn't it right to think of this posture of God to his covenant people? Not only what a special posture and what a salvation posture, but surely it's a serious posture too, isn't it? A serious posture. This text in both Isaiah 65 and Romans 10 brings out what a solemn matter it is to despise and to reject the God of salvation as revealed in Jesus Christ and as so reaching out towards us in his covenant grace and mercy. As I mentioned already, Romans 10:21 is not a compliment to the covenant people of God. It's a condemnation of the covenant people of God for all too often not listening to God's word, but turning their backs on him. Think of it, how wrong to sin against God, but how doubly wrong, surely, and how evil, really, to sin against and to despise and reject the God who all day long stands before us with outstretched hands. Imagine leaving God with his outstretched hands come to save, to stand there as if he's not worth our time and attention. I remember one time how someone in church went to shake hands with another man, and that man was at odds with the man, and he wouldn't shake hands with him. And I thought, how rude. How awful, really, to live like that. But imagine doing that with God. This text, congregation, in the context, is saying, if we won't respond to God with his outstretched arms, we make ourselves ripe for judgment, divine judgment. As one commentator said it in connection with our text, as Spirit-directed Paul says what he says in regards to the Old Covenant people, he wrote, how marvelous surely is God's patience, yes. However, this does not mean it has no limits. Are some of you stretching the limits of God's patience? Imagine growing up in a Christian home under the gospel all your life. You don't know what a privilege that is. Live in Calgary for a while, a heathen city by and large. All your life living under the gospel, being told about your deepest need, your sin and misery by nature, and how only through Jesus Christ is there forgiveness of sin and eternal life hereafter, and how through Jesus' once for all sacrifice in the sinner's place, trusting and following him, we can be saved. But imagine all the time you just ignoring that gospel, despising it, belittling it, always caught up with other things. And so just letting your childhood years go by and then your teen years and your young adult years and mostly always just stalling and debating and refusing to surrender to Christ, the only Savior. Stubbornly resisting wholly to entrust yourself to this Jesus as only Savior and Lord and not following him, but always having your excuses for remaining unconverted. You know, if God made our conversion something we must do in our own strength, well, then you might have an excuse. But now no one has an excuse, especially not any covenant seed. For God, with his outstretched hands, offers all that is required wholly to be saved and truly to be converted, including repentance and faith. And in baptism, he assures us you will find that all with him as you call upon him. And so each day that passes, when you, especially as covenant children and baptized seed, remain unsaved, it is never that God just isn't willing to save you or unable to save you. No, but it's you stubbornly being obstinate in your sinful ways and willfully continuing in your own thoughts and your own devices. How serious this evil is. No wonder God says to the Jews in his day, it'll be more tolerable, Jesus said this, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them, God's covenant people, so resisting and rejecting Jesus, the only Savior. Well, will anyone here go to hell? Because always saying no to God's outstretched arms and hands. You know, for a baptized child raised in a Christian home and church with Christian education, do you not see that too as only, always, surely, most wicked and evil? Saying daily to God, who all the day spreads out his hands to you, no, get away. I do not want to trust you, nor follow you. I want to go my own way. I have lots of things I want to do. Leave me to myself. Oh, congregation, how wrong so to live. How terrible so to die. And as we be reminded again, you never know when you will die. I pray that no one will be like this, before the Lord's outstretched hands. For sure is the case, no one will get away with mocking and scoffing at God and living in continued rejection and defiance against him and his outstretched covenant love and mercy. It's simply so inexcusably wicked and offensive and evil. And there are millions and millions and millions of Jews who died in their sins because they they wouldn't listen, wouldn't hear, wouldn't see the Lord's outstretched hands. And you know what's really important here also for us here to know is that being such a rejecter and despiser of God with his outstretched hands means not only you being a covenant breaker yourself, but it also means, you need to get this, it means you break the covenant line with your own children that God may give you someday. When a person of the world becomes a Christian believer, God establishes his covenant of grace with him and his seed. But when a covenant child turns away from God, then that covenant line stops with his or her generation. And will anyone here be responsible for such an offense before God and your children, which the Lord may give you in the future? You have to be cold as a stone and hard as a rock not to care about so sinning against God and your children too, if you will so respond to God's gospel and covenant promises. Let no one so respond. And even if you have till now, stop and repent today and call upon the Lord for his forgiving mercy and grace. And he will pour it on you in and through Jesus Christ. You know, in our text, in the context, Paul tells us of how God turns from the generations of unbelieving Jews to go and reach out to the Gentile nations. Yes, but when you read Romans 9 to 11 in its context, it is clear God will graciously even use the gospel blessing coming upon the Gentiles to yet awaken the Jews one day to their wickedness and to their folly in turning away from him and to bring them yet future generations still in mercy back to himself. It's not all exactly clear, but somehow it is clear that in reaching out to the Gentiles, God is still wanting to draw in the Jews as well. And clearly, Scripture shows us, doesn't it, in many places, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to him. Are you today, therefore, running into the wide open arms of Jesus the Savior, still welcoming sinners, whoever hears his voice and runs to him? And saying that brings me yet to our last point, namely, how our text brings such a supporting picture too, in turning from sin and trusting him. Clearly, beyond question, no case is hopeless turning to the Lord, even after so much sin and so much turning away from him in your life. Our text, with this picture of God's stretched out hands, even to a rebellious, obstinate covenant people, so proves, doesn't it? As long as there's life, there's hope of salvation for any who comes to Jesus. And there are endless resources to be found in God Triune in all our needs. We sang that from Psalter 431, verse 4 and 6. Also, as dad and mom, dear parents, you may go to God, who stands ready to hear and to help you, to comfort and to strengthen you in your role as parents. And the text brings out, God will also call to the Gentiles, to us and through us, as we seek to be faithful covenant people in our generations, that all his elect may be called from all over the universe. What a distinct favor, though, to be raised in a Christian and covenant home. There is salvation with the Lord, and he stands with hands spread out towards us. Please never forget this posture. Let parents with rebellious, wayward covenant youth also not despair, but keep on bringing their children to the Lord in prayer. There may be a time when you can't talk to them about the Lord because they refuse it, but you never need to stop talking to the Lord about them. And the Lord is almighty. Keep hoping in and through him. Especially being members of God's covenant family and people means, especially also as children, having the invitation to the wedding feast always with us, as it were, with our own name, with his name attached, and the invitation card signed, you could say, by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No wonder, no wonder Paul, as he expresses also in the opening verses of Romans 9, was so burdened for the blind and unbelieving Jews, God's covenant people, so favored by God, and yet so despising the Lord. Oh, that they would come to the Lord and be saved while it's yet the day of grace. Well, I say how supportive our text is to urge none to despair of salvation for self and for our children, but to plead this God with his outstretched hands and to ask for his saving power still in what may seem to you as parents sometimes hopeless situations. In every case, we have to say, don't we? It is always humanly hopeless, isn't it, that anyone be saved? But no sinner's case is hopeless with God, God in Christ, having stretched out almighty arms, nail-pierced hands, ready and able to save sinners. But let no one delay in coming to him while he offers pardon and peace, for suddenly the day of grace may be over for any one of us. This picture of God's outstretched hands to a rebellious people, oh, it should motivate us in our Christian homes and as Christian church also to reach out to all the lost still around us in Jesus' name and to call all that come to him, to say to them, you can be saved through Jesus the Savior. We'll learn more about that this evening. People need the Lord, and we are called to point all people to him, beginning in our families with our children. Altogether, don't you agree with me, beloved congregation? The posture of God's stretched out hands towards us, as told in Romans 10:21, quoting Isaiah 65, verse 2, it's such a special picture, such a salvation picture, such a serious picture, and such a supportive picture. And it's all meant to lead us and our children in the way of God's gospel of grace and truth. God's stretched out hands. Whatever you remember, just remember this. This is the gracious message of God's word and sacrament of baptism. Let it never have to testify against any one of us, but rather let it be by God's Holy Spirit that which truly draws us to God in Christ Jesus once and again and again and again, and that which makes us live to his praise and to his glory with the prayer also that God will use us to tell others about this great covenant God, that they too might come to know him while it's still the day of grace. The posture of God's stretched out hands towards sinners like us and our children in the generations. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying, contrary and opposing people. Oh, may it melt us in true faith and motivate us in faithful gospel witness, beginning in our homes and churches, and from there to the ends of the earth. For who is a God like unto this God, Jehovah, in Christ Jesus? Amen.